Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Remember those letter jackets from high school? Well, these days, kids can get one for playing video games.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilow, and joining me as always...
My name is Ben Vanel, confirmed. Joining us, rounding out the trio on a warm Melbourne day.
The rumours are true. My name is Adam Knox, and we're back in Ben's house. And Ben, I'm going to out you for having a weird fruit bowl. Because you know what's in the fruit bowl? Three apples and one lemon. Like it's a little trick in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to see if you guys will pick up a lemon and take a big bite out of it.
Oh, that's good apple, Billy. You got fooled, idiot.
Yeah,
it's a colorblindness test. Well, there's three apples.
Oh,
that one's
a bit
bumpy, but maybe that means it's really delicious. The flavor's bursting out of the skin.
Granny yellow, yellow delicious is what I should have. But you'd already said the word delicious, so I wanted to do a different one.
The royal yellow?
An acid jazz apple.
Ooh,
that's not bad.
Nice, that's nice.
Jazz a genre.
It's just to let people know that I'm up for a lemon party.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, very nice.
Those blue waffles that are on the table are nice as well. I don't mind the look of them.
So it's on your coffee table.
Yep.
In front of the TV.
Mm-hmm.
So that says to me what you're kicking back with a movie. You're reaching into the bowl. You're cutting it in half. You're just treating yourself to a bit of zest.
A little bit of citrus.
Yeah.
Well, my drinks card is just over there.
Okay.
A bottle of gin.
Okay.
Yep. Some cough medicine.
I provide for everyone's tastes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yum, yum.
You boys going to go in on anything for Black Friday?
It's Cyber Monday already. Stop living in the past.
Oh, man.
Well, it's...
Wait, is it really?
It was.
Oh.
That
was
Black Friday's this Friday because Thanksgiving hasn't happened yet.
But all the fucking sales have been on for ages.
Because they want money.
And it's Australia. It's weird. Black Friday and Cyber Monday and shit.
Like, when did Black Friday really start coming in here?
Within the last decade for sure.
Yeah.
I'd say even within the last 5 years.
Maybe it was...
quite recent.
I feel like it was a fresh... sort of thing, yeah, that was already happening about 5 years ago.
I think so.
Maybe we've drawn this comparison on the podcast in years previous, but I feel like this is our generation. You know how like people who are in their 50s or whatever, they hate that Halloween has started to come in Australia to such a big effect?
Yeah.
I reckon this is our generation's. We're like, Black Friday, it's about fucking Thanksgiving. It's an American thing. We shouldn't have it here. We shouldn't have the sales. We should be paying full price for things up until Boxing Day. It's that American crap. Keep it out of this country.
Over here we play the recommended retail price. Not this bizarre. Yeah, it like... I don't want tipping to come in here.
No.
Sales is fine.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Saying is as the way of indicating after a plural. Mm-hmm. That's also fine, apparently, the way I did it. Sales are fine.
Oh, right.
Sorry,
right.
Your Majesty.
Sales
is fine. Like, I saw when it was Halloween. I don't remember if I saw this in real life. I mustn't have. It was an internet thing, probably. But someone had like put a sign up on their door being like, if any of you fucking kids come around here wanting candy, first of all, it's lollies. Second of all, it's Australia. And Halloween doesn't happen here, you little cunts. It's like, well, a good thing Australian rudeness is still alive and well.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. So what's our version of that? No junk mail, especially... if it's about goddamn Black Friday sales and deals.
I've been looking at the sales and stuff, but I don't know. There's nothing we need to get, really.
Yeah,
it's
that's
all just material.
That's
man.
The annoying thing. Like, you try to be like, well, what if in 3 months I'll need a new hard drive? I guess I'll get it now. But it's impossible to know what the future holds.
Absolutely.
You can't do it. And like,
true.
You're really speaking truth to power.
No, I've been thinking a lot about a lot of different things. That's one of the little nuggets of wisdom I've come up with. There's more to come.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. You're a real lemon in an apple bowl. Just a unique individual. I don't need to get anything right now.
I guess we've already got consoles and PCs now.
Yeah. And then on sale, you still can't get PS5s. Man, it's so crazy. Speaking of video games.
Yep. I'll allow it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And then I'm going to have to ask you to go back to talking about fruit once you're done with this diversion.
I absolutely will, Your Honor. Your Honor, I barely know.
It does feel like Tommy is the judge because we're slightly lower than him on our chairs.
And in status.
And in status, yeah.
But the fact that people still can't get PS5s and Series Xs and stuff and like
crazy.
All these shortages seem to be lasting at least another year is going to make a very disappointing Christmas happen for some poor children out there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think
poor
that's...
as in like unlucky? Because if you're yes, a PS5 isn't on the table for plenty of people, and Patreon.com.
That has to be affecting the software release schedules, right? If they're looking at it going like, well, there's not the install base that we would like there to have been at this point.
Yeah.
They're not a chip shortage.
Yeah.
So, why roll this thing out? Like, why not like delay it? Or there probably is more stuff that's now being, worked on to be compatible with the previous generation that maybe they were thinking this would be an exclusive.
Well, I kind of thought we might have already seen the end of that. Like, there was a few games that were like, because people who have the new consoles are like, these are like hamstrung or they don't look as good. Or, you know, we saw Cyberpunk have the ultimate thing of like, this is developed for a PC, it's coming out on new consoles, and then it just fucked all the old console people.
Yeah.
That was sort of on a different level, I guess, because that was also like broken in some other way. But yeah, like Halo Infinite, playing that,
right,
it runs really, really well on modern stuff. But the fact that it is being pumped into an Xbox One from 2013 as well is definitely making... I've been watching some previews of campaign stuff.
Yep.
And it does make it more difficult to make it look up to modern standards. Like, the only two I remember really seeing, I guess, the Demon's Souls remaster, Ratchet and Clank, and Returnal are like the three that have been next gen.
And yeah, and getting ones that are next gen exclusives and seeing how good they look.
Yes.
And how compromised that would have to be if they were to still be being designed to run on a previous console. It's like, I just want just a few more things like that where they're just really putting the pedal down.
I feel like we've been seeing it for a while too. Like, you know, we've been talking about how Horizon is doing this and Elden Ring and, you know, there's a bunch. But it's still going, and it just reminds you when it's time to give thanks for all those deals.
Yeah.
You take stock and you really think, damn,
I've still got to buy a lot of PS4 games.
Yeah.
It's a Cyber Monday miracle. You boy, what day is it?
Today, sir.
Boy, it's Cyber Monday.
With a stampede of people running past.
It's Cyber Monday.
Well, that lemon rubbing up against the apples, it sure is a weird little coming together. It's a weird little clash. Never did I think I would see those two things battling it out side by side. A little bit like if you were to put, for example,
yes,
Batman up against Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Can you even imagine what that might look like?
Dude, that'd be so fucking funny.
That'd be hilarious. Memes, trailers, all the things that I'll be interested in from it. The game itself, who knows?
Yeah, that's right, fellas. Robot Chicken, the video game, is coming down the pipe. No, Metaverses.
Yes.
Is,
no, Multiverses.
Multiverses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really sounds right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Meta is like, would be difficult to call it now. I bet there was a time when they were going to call it that even maybe, but...
Well, that's why I thought Facebook. It was called that, because I thought like, oh, this is strange that this has happened right after that.
No, this is an article by Jeff Grubb on VentureBeat.com.
Okay, here we go. Look at the bloody knockers on her.
You want to buy some Shaggy just off the back of the truck? Multiverses.
Little bit of carrot for your Bugs Bunny, eh?
Hope Catwoman's in there. Can't wait to mod this.
My real name's Smith, but I changed it.
Bring back the original Lola. Yeah,
what if that was a sentence for being convicted for being like a real pervert or something, and the judge is like, no jail time. However, you have to change
John
your name. To legally change your name to John Grubb.
Barry Sexual Assaulter. Yeah, Multiverses is a Warner Brothers riff on Smash Bros.
Yep.
Warner Brothers, of course, the maker of Space Jam 2, A New Legacy.
Yep.
Real cynical cash grab mixing of IPs.
Yep.
And this looks like it's the video game version. It may be fun, though. It's obviously like a Smash Bros. Style
and
game.
I don't want to hold it to it, like, because Nintendo does it and we're all like, oh, cool, Banjo-Kazooie's in this thing.
Sure.
So, you know, I think the fact that it is a ripoff of that on top of that SpongeBob thing came out just before a minute ago.
Yeah.
That Nickelodeon one.
Mm. Yeah, I thought that looked, you know, obviously the right age for that to really be hitting the nostalgia button within me. And I thought, oh, this looks really cool. And in the movesets and everything, it did look like there was a lot of kind of care and affection for the source material being put into it. I was kind of thinking I might get it, but then it came out and it had no voice acting in it because that's a whole other thing where – so you watched footage from it and it's like these characters
creepy.
Just fighting wordlessly and it's like that is – and like no music that's like from the shows or anything like that. And
that's weird.
Obviously there's other certain rights things where they can't put certain characters in and whatever, which is, a big shame, which this at least does have a bit more – you know, they're not using IPs from – 20 years ago. Yeah. This is they are in some cases, but it's
all active licenses.
It's all active licenses. Yeah. So it does. Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's a Smash clone is kind of the least interesting bit of it to me. But like, there's a lot of IPs that they could use and have in this that could be kind of cool and fun. I mean,
because I don't know what it is about this that does give me that same reaction of like, ugh.
Yeah.
Because I really liked Mortal Kombat that had like fucking Rambo and
the
Arnold
Ninja
Schwarzenegger
Turtles,
and stuff show up.
Yep.
I really like Smash Brothers. I think Fortnite is funny in the way that it does all that stuff.
That's
so
true.
But you know what the difference is like in the cases of Mortal Kombat and Fortnite, they've got like a baseline of like here's what the aesthetic is and here's what the actual game is. And then it's kind of fun to see a different cameo in it. Nintendo's got like a very unified kind of look and feel, and it's like this is a legacy of Nintendo games.
And Smash Brothers is from 25 years ago or whatever, not quite that much, but like it
has an established
its own history.
Yeah,
and the same with the Nickelodeon cartoons. It's like they were all a block of shows that were on at the same time, but just going the Warner Brothers licenses, that's just such a broad umbrella where there's there's nothing at all linking Game of Thrones to Shaggy, other than the fact that they are owned by the same company. There's no like unifying kind of art style or aesthetic, or it truly is. It's just like, hey, the CEO decided to just flick the switch and let all these things be running around in the same camp.
It doesn't feel like a fun cameo thing. It feels like all of these characters, even though they're fictional, have been forced to go on a press junket and they have like that defeated look in their art style of like,
which was kind of when Smash Brothers got to the point of like Minecraft being in there, I was like, this does seem like it's kind of a bit...
This is a corporate partnership.
Yeah, this is a bit off the ethos of like what this game... like.
But they were saying it too. I remember in like those announcement things, like Sakurai was like, these ones aren't our choices.
Yeah.
He was very upfront with like, this has been handled by corporate now.
Right.
Which
and
is
I think
what
that's this coming out. It feels very corporate.
This is not a game developer who's passionate about making a new kind of platform brawler going to the head of WB and being like, I've got this great idea.
Right.
We'll make it a Looney Tunes brawler and we'll have all the like side. If it was Bugs Bunny versus like Scooby-Doo, it's like even that's a little more. But like at the point that you're having Game of Thrones in there, for whatever reason, that's the element to me that feels a step too far where it's like this is just completely. So what do Warner Brothers own? They own HBO.
Yes.
So they're all HBO.
Put Larry in there. Get Larry David in there. Maybe I'm into this. I don't
know.
See,
the more I keep thinking, because like, didn't they have a little clip in, not that I've seen it, but I remember people talking about it. There's a bit in the new Space Jam movie where they have a little clip from Austin Powers.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking, you get Larry David in there, you get Austin Powers in there. Yeah. All of a sudden,
new
I'm changing
fighter
my
approaching,
tune.
And then you hear the music like, dum 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 dum, and there's Carrie writing up.
Yes.
She's got to move to like
Mr. Big.
Yeah, Mr. Big's in.
Her final smash is like her finishing off the piece.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's that I wondered.
Samantha just fucks everyone. good. But so like, you know, there's a bunch of examples here. Shaggy, obviously, we've seen Gandalf. Tom and Jerry, Batman.
So, I don't know why it is that this one feels like that bit where it's just gone enough where it's like, nah. Because if Gandalf showed up in Fortnite even, I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So it just must be the tone of this particular game feels a little bad.
Yeah, and it doesn't, we haven't played it yet. And I think, like you said before, we've played Mortal Kombat, we've played Smash Bros. Before they started importing all these third-party characters. Like, we know what those games are.
Yeah.
But I mean, Fortnite is a great example of like, that is Ready Player One. Like, that's what it is, really. Yeah. It just happens to be fun to play as well.
So. And I think it is like, this is stupid, huh? Like, it has that attitude where Ready Player One and this thing is like, can you believe it that you get to see Harley Quinn and Shaggy in the same room? Mm. Like, I think that tone is the thing that maybe with Space Jam, it's like, can you, this epic event that here comes fucking Martha Stewart and Hellboy.
Right. Like, there's nothing artistic about it. It's like, there's just, and why are they there? And it's like,
and it, like Comic-Con where it feels like it's talking down to you at some point.
Yeah.
I often get that feeling with those like panels and stuff. If I ever see those things where it's like, yeah, you love whatever the fuck we're gonna do because fucking the Undertaker's
we're tricking you into watching an ad.
Yes.
And it's I think the tricking thing is a part of it as well, because it's like, well, we're grown adults, we can have enough awareness of this to talk about it and decide if we like it or not.
Yeah.
But kids don't have that awareness.
Yeah. And I mean, with Smash Brothers, like, the origin of it is like, here's all of Nintendo's characters together in one thing. Mm. It is still this unified, like, direction of a company that have created all these characters over the years, whereas the novelty of seeing these Warner Brothers characters in the same thing, it's just companies that Warner Brothers happens to have acquired over the years. It's not like, oh, all the different art departments under this one umbrella, kind of, it's all them merging for the same time. It's like, yeah, they just happen to have bought HBO once upon a time. Yes, so you can now feel, they have the rights to that.
Yeah. You can feel that, like, the internal memos about Smash Brothers when it was being made, it was, the code name was something like Crazy Fighter or something.
Yeah.
Yep. Someone was having a bit of fun with it. And you know that this one, before it was called Multiverses, it was called like Inter-Franchise Synergy Opportunity.
It
just has that grey feeling to it that...
But weirdly enough, if all it was the cartoon characters, I'd be into it. If
I think it would
Bugs
help.
Bunny v. Fred Flintstone, v. Tom and Jerry, v. Scooby-Doo, that'd be cool. That would tickle me more than...
Cartoon combat or something like that.
And that was that Nickelodeon one, and people were excited for that, and I didn't get swept up in that, so maybe it's just not for us. But I don't know. There was just something about it where it did pop off a bit on the internet. People were like, hey, look at this.
Isn't this weird, the juxtaposition of the two characters?
Yeah. Because we were talking about how...
It's like, isn't it weird that there are four companies now and so this is one of theirs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
It,
we were talking before we started recording about how it's always funny when there's not just a trailer that goes up, not just a 3-minute cut together, highlights of the game, kind of showing you some features, but when they make the decision to have someone high up at the studio talking to camera very earnestly about how they could not be more excited. And to be fair, like, he does seem very genuine. They do seem like, he talks a lot, the guy in the clip, about how they really do want to make this a part of people's, you know, new roster of competitive online games that they play. Like,
well,
they
would make them a lot of money.
It felt like that trailer was accidentally leaked and it was meant for members of the board.
I think the guy's a crisis actor. I don't believe any of it. Oh, it's all cynical.
Even the fact that the term crisis actor now is so, like, maybe it's just the world and I'm sitting, like, that's...
Anyway, next week we'll be featuring guests from The Grub, Do Go On, The Worst Idea of All Time. Chandler will be on the show finally, Carl.
Who would you want to see though? Like in this game, like, because Larry Dave, I love your suggestion before, Ben, of Samantha, which would just be Kim Cattrall, famously not signed on for the Sex and the City reboot, but if they get her to sign on for the video game,
well, because that would be the way to make one. Because Batman and Bugs Bunny and Scooby-Doo and whatever, they're all already so heavily franchised and monetized that it isn't surprising at all to see
really
them show up in something like this.
It's really hard to get excited about Batman being in a fighting game.
Because he's already in six.
Yes.
Okay. Warner Brothers apparently owns Adult Swim.
Oh, so right. Now we're talking.
Yeah. Get that little redhead from Cowboy Bebop, but only the Netflix version.
Yeah. Oof. Rick and Morty, obviously, is under that umbrella.
But if you chuck
that will
in,
happen for sure.
Chucking in the ones that aren't a part of existing franchised, like monetized things,
yeah,
would be a very fun way to do something like
that
this.
It's genuinely like, a thrill to see
President Reagan at like from, you know, just some weird
yeah
broadcasting rights that you dig up that you have.
They own Frost Nixon, the interview. So David Frost versus Richard Nixon.
Finally,
okay. Well, I'd play that.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Here's Johnny Carson. Oh, we still technically have. Like if they found a way to do the literally the most obscure ones they could.
Riz Ahmed's character from The Night Of.
Yes, yeah. Versus Johnny Bravo, for example. Okay, maybe this is gonna be great.
If they can, yeah, start putting in DLC, like go the whole way. Don't just do Batman and shit, who are already everywhere.
Sure.
Put in literally everything that you own.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if they actively, that guy in that Ernest video had gone, here's what we're going to do, you know, all the stuff about we want it to be competitive and like, look.
The game itself is going to be good. We're not just slapping some characters in, you know.
Yeah, and we're not going to dance around it. It's a Smash Brothers clone. But guess what? Smash Brothers currently has the biggest roster of any fighting game. Well, guess what? We got more characters up our sleeves. Fuck you, Sakurai. Mm-hmm. We're coming for the record. And we promise you that between Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, HBO, New Line Cinema, we are going to end up with every fucking... We're not going to have to be putting 10 different anime characters that have a sword
that are all
effectively the same character. Mm-hmm. We're putting in Dr. Evil. We're putting in Cow and
We're
Chicken.
We're putting in shit people don't care about. You know what? Here's one of the mortal engines. It's in there now. Fuck off.
Here's Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber.
Yep, yep.
Here's Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th. Yep.
Here's Little Nicky.
Little Nicky I just looked up because Rodney Dangerfield played a character in Little Nicky.
Oh. Here's Rodney.
Here's Rodney.
Get Rodney
you,
in there.
You added 12 anime swordsmen. Here's Rodney from Caddyshack.
Yes.
Here's Rodney from that episode of The Simpsons he did.
Yes. Yep. From Natural Born Killers, from being on The Tonight Show.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
Just, yep.
Yeah, go all the way, I guess. But then, I don't know.
Rodney Dangerfield being the fire emblem of this is so good. Do we really need another Dangerfield? My God.
Yes.
Oh.
He's finally going to get some respect.
Sounds like I'm not in the YouTube comments.
Here he is from that anecdote that Eddie Murphy told on WTF with Mark Maron last year.
Yes.
Hey, who knew? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, this is what's great about coming in and doing the pod. We see a news story during the week.
That's true.
Process it ourselves. We're not into it. And then over the course of conversation, we've all come completely around on this game.
We can start to see the positives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is not dated. This is sometime next year, right? It's just a very vague
2022,
I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know what's already out? Ooh. Not even 2022. You can play it right now.
Right now?
We mentioned it last week, but we've played a bit more of it. Me and Ben. Tommy, none.
None.
So shut the fuck up for about 10 minutes, please.
Sit back.
Gladly.
Listen. The men are talking.
I haven't played the originals either, so I'm...
Okay. Neither have I.
No,
of Shin Megami Tensei.
With five.
The fifth one is out now. We've played more of it.
Yep.
Both of us love Persona 5. You played Royal and Persona 5 all the way through.
Yep.
And it's really weird because I love Persona 5 as well. And Shin Megami Tensei 5 is exactly the same combat, basically.
Yes.
And I'm just not having as good of a time, but it's still a good game. It just really doesn't have that same dressing that did have for so much with Persona.
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing is I've gone back and played Persona 4 Golden as well.
Right.
So, like, I liked the sort of core mechanic enough, the world, the enemy types. You know, it's like the Final Fantasy franchise where there are a lot of commonalities, but not in terms of story and stuff like that. Enough to sort of dig a bit deeper. And that sort of passion and you know, predisposition towards this stuff isn't really helping in this case.
Yeah.
It's not helped by the fact that it is a pretty, like, non-innovative visual presentation.
Sure.
It is also on the Nintendo Switch, so it is not Graphically blowing me away.
It's, which neither did Persona 5, other than presentation-wise, but like technically Persona 5, but that was very high.
That was a huge choice, yeah. Clearly, in Persona of like the aesthetic. And same with 4, there's a specific aesthetic to it and a style of writing and characterization that elevates those games. There's a reason that those games are more beloved than other JRPGs, and it's not just the quality of the graphics, it's the style, and that's not, it's not really present here.
You can see someone loving Shin Megami and then getting into Persona and being like, oh, this is cool, this is like that format that I really enjoy.
Right.
But it's just got like a really fun and breezy presentation that I've been caught up in, but it seems like a big ask to go the other way.
Mm.
Where it's,
I guess,
like
that's it.
Stripped of the the fun, like,
and to be
it
fair,
being a fun twist on the thing you like, but when you take that away, it's like, oh, this is like a more serious kind of intense version of it.
And it's not completely without personality. Like, it's all still there. Sure. Like, the demons are all fun and interesting to talk to.
Yeah.
And I like a lot of what it's doing. It's just that it's drier. It is, for whatever reason. It's like, from the get-go, it is very much like gods and and important things.
The world is being attacked by demons from the netherworld.
Yeah. Like, no one has played Persona 5 and gotten into the cat after it's turned into a bus and gone, God, I wish this was a bit less silly.
Right. Or more. It's like, this is silly enough.
It still has that silliness because it's literally the same demons and stuff from Persona. Like, right. And though they're in Persona because of this. Like, I know which way around it goes. But
yes.
It does feel like the vanilla version. And it, like you're saying, if you love raspberry, vanilla's sweet.
Yeah.
But it ain't the same flavor.
Which there's been a lot of stuff online in the last couple of weeks about how the diehards of Shin Megami Tensei are hating the fact that so many reviews are saying exactly what we're saying. Because Persona's the big thing that really took off here in the West before Shin Megami has been able to.
Yep.
And yes, Shin Megami came first. Persona's the spin-off. Every review kind of mentions that. But it is unavoidable because the majority of people that come to this, maybe out of curiosity, they're coming to it out of curiosity because they loved Persona and they've seen that this is similar. Oh, it's maybe okay. It doesn't have the teenage stuff from the, you know, they're not.
Yeah, no social links, stuff like that.
Well, and also the human characters are a bit less well-drawn and interesting. That's the thing I'm finding, as I am still really enjoying the mechanics of the game and like going through it, but it feels a lot like it just is.
It's more self-serious.
Yeah.
It's doing that overarching, huge sort of operatic plot without the granular level of like go down to the shops with your friend and have a hamburger and then your stats go up. Mechanically, yes, it's fine. It's JRPG combat with the status, and elemental effects of the Persona games that we know.
Yep. Tougher than Persona if you're doing it on the regular difficulty.
Yes.
But I'm enjoying that.
And this sort of, it's not like the palaces or it's not limited dungeons. It's big open worlds, basically.
Mm-hmm.
There's little sub quests. There's little things you can find. And it's all done pretty well, aside from some frame rate issues that I'm having.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm forcing myself to play it, to talk about it. When there are other games that I'm, I wish I was playing this other game.
Right.
And you know what? That's part of the other thing is this could be something where in 6 months, something, there's a drought or whatever, and we end up picking this back up and going like, oh, wrong.
Yeah,
we,
this could be like clicks, a...
And you're not, you're detached from that immediate thing of comparing it to Persona in your head.
Yep.
But at the same time, JRPGs, you're often spending probably 100 hours in them,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it is just kind of walking around, doing combat where you're just like selecting from menus and stuff. A lot of what you really do in JRPGs, it can be pretty dry.
Yeah.
So the presentation really does have to do a lot of the lifting.
Yes.
Like, I loved the last Dragon Quest game because I love Akira Toriyama's artwork.
Yep.
But if I really stripped it back and thought about it, it's like, this is kind of no different to... That's a very, very plain JRPG.
Sure.
But I loved it because I love the art style, because you're just basically looking at this thing. You're not doing like quick reflexes, or there's not like a really solid like gameplay loop that you get in stuck in where it feels really great to play.
Yep.
Even if you, you know, you can if you enjoy the combat. But yeah, the presentation, right. If it's really not lifting you up, like in terms of a JRPG, I always find it's like that's the majority of the battle for me.
And I think it's not just the visual presentation, it's the writing as well.
It's mainly the writing.
It's pretty straight down the line.
Yeah.
And pretty, not predictable necessarily, but it is not breaking from tradition. It's not,
no.
It's doing tropes rather than commenting on tropes. And when, yeah, the general presentation alongside that is not hugely inspiring, it's... it's just leaving me a little flat. It's not a bad game by any means.
I'm enjoying it and I'm going to keep playing it, I think, because it's very... It is easy to do in pieces a lot more than...
Yep.
I got really sucked into Persona, but this I'm kind of doing in little chunks,
yep. Yep.
Which is still enjoyable. And I am liking the gameplay thing because it's a little more difficult. It is more tactical or whatever, and it feels a bit like... I felt with Inscription in some ways where it's like it has this really simple set of mechanics that I'm enjoying messing with and it's giving me enough. There is a bit of grindy stuff and whatever, but it's giving me enough variety on that with new enemies and things and new personas to get and make and all of that.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying that part. But I agree that the writing is just the main thing that is... not boring. It's just
not inspiring.
And there's like a mystery sort of, but it's not a mystery at all because like you kind of get what's going on because you've seen this thing in the twist on it versions that we have.
Sure.
Persona is one of which, but there are a bunch of specifically JRPGs that are doing similar stories.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's a little more by the numbers in that way to the point where it's less engaging, I think, in terms of the story. But the gameplay is very, very satisfying.
Mm. Yeah, I think exactly what you said. When there's a drought, I probably will pick it up and have a go. Yeah, and it is also worth mentioning that it has been reviewed very, very well. Like general consensus among critics is that it's really good.
Mm.
And amongst people who... There's a person who listens to this who
yes.
is in our... Patreon Discord who loves this series.
Yep.
And
it's Joshua. Yeah.
Who is loving this.
Right. Yeah. And it has been, we sort of like had a little pre-show chat and I was like, I don't want to be too negative and spend too much time on how, you know, I'm not in love with this game because the fans of it, like Josh, would have been super keen to just
Josh
hear.
Josh was like, I've sunk 15 hours into it already. I was like, didn't it come out like 6 hours ago? This was like on the day of release. I was like,
they invented a time machine.
This is possible.
Yeah.
But like I do think it's good too. So like
that, and I don't think it's bad. Yeah. I think I'm not enjoying playing it, which is an absolutely subjective experience.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do also think that it is very much being a slow burn thing and it is happy to do that, which is part of a circumstance thing rather than, as in there's lots of other stuff going on at the moment.
Yes.
So...
it's nice weather. I'm trying to get outside a lot.
You know what you can do with a Switch, though? You can take it with you to that rooftop party.
Stick it up your... Yeah, okay.
There you go.
I'll take it over to the park, sit in the park, play my
What's
Switch.
What's up, everybody? Who wants a lemon?
I mean, to be fair, we are sitting here in Ben's living room surrounded by his drawings that he's done of Lady Anne over the years. So I guess...
That's true.
I guess it was never going to be able to stack up.
She was my favorite of the Persona 5. You know what else is my favorite?
What?
Manscaped.
Out of everything.
Yeah, out of everything, it's one of my favorites.
Manscaped's your favorite Manscaped. Persona character.
Yeah. When you get to level 10, it'll shave your butthole.
And you know what is not my favorite?
What's not?
Having really hairy dick and balls.
You don't want him to be really hairy.
Yeah.
You know, the song I Saw Mummy Kissing Santa.
Okay, right. Where's this going?
That wouldn't be written today
because
the kid would be able to clearly see his father's penis.
Right.
Because...
And identify it, you mean. Yeah. Yeah.
It wouldn't be that big, white, shaggy bunch of pubic hair that the kid mistook for a beard.
Right.
That's what the copy here says for Manscaped. No, it's a holiday season.
It is, yeah. It's gift-giving season.
Yeah.
Christmas is coming up. Thanksgiving might be happening now. As mentioned earlier, we don't know when it is.
Who knows? But definitely the holidays will show up.
Yeah.
They happen every year, God
Hanukkah,
damn it.
Christmas.
And I'm sick of it. You're not taking time off just to go see your family. You get paid $1 an hour.
Yeah.
That should be enough for you.
He's talking to us, Tommy. Clearly, this is the business that Knox runs.
Yeah.
So.
I'm not reliving anything. Yeah, it's Christmas is coming up, and a good present, genuinely,
oh, yes.
Yes.
The Manscaped stuff, some of that is great for gifting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't get your dad socks this year.
No.
Get him a pubic. Throw him in your ugly, disgusting face.
Exactly. Tell your dad subtly that you've been thinking about his dick.
Yeah.
Get him a Manscaped lawnmower.
Or you've been thinking about his nose hairs.
Yes.
Which is more of a real thing you might think about.
Right, right, right.
And genuinely, I've been thinking about his face. You can just use these on your face. There's no...
Yeah.
They're very good trimmers that Manscaped make. Mm-hmm.
They are.
The products that they create are good.
No pinching, no nicking or anything.
I reckon if you're ever
you've got to buy them.
If you're ever going to use it on the face, I reckon make that call once you get it out of the box.
Yeah.
Because... Once you're using it downstairs, that's a big mental barrier to get over.
Yeah,
it's purely mental, though.
Mm-hmm. This can go on the face. No
water
worries.
Cleans anything.
You don't want to be on a date going in for a smooch.
And remembering...
And the lady saying, your face smells like a hairy dick.
That's happened to me before I used the Manscaped lawnmower, though, unfortunately.
Well, you can get... if you're thinking about gifting someone somewhere, one of these things, and I genuinely go have a look at them because there's gifts there that... it's Manscaped, but it doesn't have to just be for men. It can be for anybody. And you get 20% off of your purchase if you would like to use the code FILTHY. And you get free shipping as well.
Yeah.
They'll ship it straight to your gift receiver's door.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll open just the regular packaging and you'll go, give me that! And try and get it off them before they can look at it.
Yeah.
And you wrap it in separate packaging and then hand it back to you.
Yeah.
I love Christmas.
You could, of course, if you're someone with a male partner, it's the perfect gift.
It is very good.
Yeah.
You mean a male partner like Australia Post?
Yeah, DHL.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toll. Well, maybe not Toll.
Fastway.
Couriers, please.
Their name to Aramex because they were so bad
to
get around Google reviews, they switched their name over.
Yeah, FedEx. Just got something from a FedEx delivery man.
It's only just dawned on me what a funny name Couriers, please is.
It's not. It doesn't make any sense.
The DHL guy who comes to my house has a Southern Cross tattoo on his neck. Oh. I only just noticed that the other day.
Proud Australian.
I hate this.
I'd rather a bloody DSL guy, if you know what I mean.
Some broadband?
No. along with the 20% off you can get using our code, separately, Manscaped are doing a 25% off sale. Site-wide.
For Black Friday and Cyber Monday, is that?
That's right. From the 22nd of November through to the 29th, the site will give you 25% off pretty much, literally everything. That's what it says here.
Yep.
Use our code, use the site-wide 25% off sale, whatever you choose to do. Support Manscaped because they support us.
And they can support your gift-giving needs or your self-buying needs.
Mm. Yeah, you know
Manson
what I...
Manson had two ribs removed so he could self-buy. What? You know what you want? How do you Very ever good. Buy a turkey? How do you ever find Wait. Out the price of a turkey?
Hang on, what?
I've never bought a turkey. I'm thinking about Thanksgiving. I've never bought a turkey.
Yeah.
But how do you go up to someone and ask the price of a turkey? Because you'd be like, if in this situation, you have to be someone who only speaks in olden days slang. And so you're trying to find out the price of a turkey. You're like, let's talk turkey. And he's like, I always do. Mm. You're like, but no, let's get down to brass tacks. Let's talk turkey. And
how much is that turkey?
Turkey?
Are you calling me a turkey?
Yeah.
That's rude.
You could have any sort of misunderstanding that I'll later edit out of this podcast.
You can't edit out your bad jokes and leave our ones in.
Yes, I can.
So I'm
going to pitch the voice up and it's Tommy.
No, you just have to like go, well, I think, and then just go beep.
Yeah.
So at least you're taking on some sort of responsibility.
Okay.
People think you might have said something bad.
Couriers,
so when you
please.
Said you're only talking in olden times speak, and so you think back in the day, every sentence started with let's talk turkey.
Let's talk turkey. Just if you wanted to know the price of something.
Yeah.
Is that an olden days phrase?
I think so. Doesn't sound recent.
Mm.
Mummy, that's recent.
Choke me, daddy. That's very recent.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Less recent, I reckon.
Mm,
let's talk turkey. Choke me, daddy.
That's a fair price.
Yeah.
But speaking as we were 10 minutes ago of buying things for yourself,
yes.
Something that I bought for myself a little while ago and Blow me down if it isn't one of the best investments I've ever made, because I've now finished it to the point of completion.
You, how can you finish a fedora?
Jail. I've clocked the fedora. I reached the end of the fedora.
Yes.
Inscription. I've now finished it. Been talking about it for many weeks in a row now. Mm. We will be talking about it in the game of the year. Ep at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Well, specifically, we're going to do spoilers.
Well, yeah, and we haven't discussed this now, but should we talk about spoilers after this and do a little sealed section for anyone who's interested? Maybe we'll save it for game of the year.
I feel like we have been saying, I was going to suggest that we, at some point, maybe soon, we do our spoiler chat and bank it. I mean, so could, that it stays
slotted
fresh.
Into the yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe it will come up during Game of the Year, and we will talk about it then. That was the deal we made.
I think we want to give people a bit more time to have played it, because maybe they're thinking like they've got like another month.
So, well, I highly recommended it after finishing it. Ben highly recommended it after finishing it. Yes. Tommy,
worst thing I've ever played. yeah, absolutely loved it.
Yeah,
yeah, cool. Really had such a good time with it. Yeah, what it like? So finished it. The reason I bring it up, yeah, finished it. And had never played a deck building game before, and really, really wanted to kind of just move straight into another game of that style.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been playing Slay the Spire, because that is probably the next biggest. Well, it's bigger than Inscription.
Yeah.
It's on more things, it's been around longer.
Yep.
So it kind of is the biggest example of that type of game.
I guess
think
so.
It's certainly the one that people always.
You've got your Hearthstones and shit like that, like those kind of like dedicated card games
that are closer to a Magic the Gathering kind of one, right?
I haven't played Slay the Spire, so is it?
It's
well,
Slay I would the Spire, love to hear about it.
Well, I've also been playing it. I recommended it to Tommy because I played it a while back and was like, "Hey, this is pretty good, but this kind of game isn't my thing." And I went back. It's on Game Pass.
Oh, okay.
Installed it again, and I've been playing it most of the week.
And so, is Inscription like a gateway? Like it clicked in that, you know how sometimes a game will click in an entire genre for you or something.
I think less so, to be honest.
Right.
Maybe Hearthstone is the one I need to give a crack, because
I don't know if you anymore.
Well, the thing that I'm not really. I probably just need more time with it. But the thing so far that I'm not liking about Slay the Spire, coming from Inscription and just basically wanting to play more of that, is that it's not presented enough like a card game for me.
Oh.
I wish it was just like I want to be literally looking at a table. I liked the way like card placement in Inscription really matters. Like you could convert that game and turn it into an actual physical card game.
Yes.
I really liked that about it. This feels more like you are just playing a battle section of a JRPG, but you happen to just be kind of getting these random sets of moves in your hand that you can use. It's like RPG combat if the move sets were kind of randomized.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's still good. I like everything that's there. I don't dislike it. It's just a bit, it's not like I came to it wanting a very specific.
Damn, you really liked it.
Pardon me?
You came to it.
Oh, wowee.
Do you reckon if you were buying a turkey, but, right, you were in the country of Turkey, what do you reckon would happen then? Anyway, sorry, what were you saying?
Can I have a turkey? And they're like, what, you want to be?
No, don't actually think about it, because it's really.
I stand bull.
What do you mean
you
love
bull?
Bulls?
You love bulls? Yeah. Chicago Bulls or a specific bull? I get what you mean, because
I'm not shitting on it. I'm not enjoying it, but it just is not scratching that itch, which is the reason that I downloaded it onto my console of choice.
Right.
I was about to say came to it again, and I didn't want to give you the opening.
Right.
Give you the opening.
Okay, now let's talk. The thing with Slay the Spire is, as Inscription is a deconstruction of the genre, Slay the Spire is like a mixture, because it is all. It is a roguelike card deck building game.
Right.
Yep.
Which is the similarity with Inscription. They're both roguelike for sections of them. This is the entire game. The entire game is this exact mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And it plays out very similarly with like a top-down map where you're like, battle. and then you got a fork, and it's either parts, you know, yeah, item or camp or, you know, or a boss, but with better rewards. And again, yeah, you do get cards that you hang on to. You can buy extra cards. You get rewarded with cards. So all that stuff is very similar to Inscription. But yeah, then the gameplay is more like you have a character that you are, and you have certain buffs and upgrades and, you know, things that are different based on which character you choose. And when you play a card, you'll either have a defensive or an offensive. And if it's a defense, you play it onto your character.
Okay.
And there's no board. It is like a character here and an enemy there. And you're like playing attack cards on your enemies, playing defenses and buffs on your character.
Right.
So it doesn't look like a board game. But I'm loving it. I don't know why I love it this time as opposed to that first time. Going back to it from Inscription, it is a more traditional deck building game. But I'm loving it. I think I've figured out maybe the mental mechanics of how to approach the combat through Inscription. And it does apply to this and the sort of like having a discard pile and getting your cards back. And, yeah, and
I don't want this card. I want that card.
Exactly. That's what I say to the screen all the time. My neighbors are really worried about me. But it's clicked for me and I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying how difficult it is because, you know, there's a lot of... it gives you a lot of game to play because of that.
Right. I'm going to copy-paste this segment and put it in 6 months' time about Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Yes. Right. Yes. And you know, it is weird to talk about a game like Shin Megami Tensei 5 and break it down to those mechanics and then have a card game you've been playing that like literally breaks the mechanics down into cards.
Right.
But I don't know. It's just working for me. It's faster. You know, it's very fast-paced. You know, cool. The roguelike nature means just you die, you start again. You don't take as long to get back to where you were because you're getting much better tangibly at the game as you go.
Okay.
I really like it, and it's on Game Pass, and it's worth a try if you liked Inscription or you want to get into this kind of game.
It is good. I think I need to put a bit more time into it and just kind of, you know, take it for what it is, because at the moment I'm just wishing myself that there was like a mobile version of Inscription that is just the first bit of it.
Yeah, yeah.
As an actual roguelike.
Yeah.
And I could just play that again and again and again and again, because I got really just hooked on that style and that mechanic. That's it's no fault of the game, but that's my biggest problem with it, is that it's not exactly the same as this other game. Yeah, it's not a new version of the exact same thing that I was really enjoying and just wanting to play more of.
Well, if anyone listening knows of a game that is more similar to Inscription in terms of that kind of card placement, roguelike deck building game, I also want to play that.
Yeah.
So let us know.
This is sort of different, but there's a mobile game called Solitarica that I reckon is really good.
Okay.
And I played a bunch of during one of the lockdowns. And I don't think I ever really talked about it on here.
No, I don't remember.
So it is like a combat version of Solitaire where you have an enemy in front of you who has like rows of Solitaire style cards, so one at the front turned over with a number on it.
Oh yeah.
And then a deck behind that
that
is basically their health, and you get a card, and if it is a sequential number to one of the numbers there, you can play it, and then you get like attack power or defense power or something depending on the symbol on that card.
Okay. Yep.
And you are building up over the course of your run different abilities or items that will help you to, like, if you have four attack power, you can slash at one card and get rid of it and the ones on the sides or whatever.
This is very similar to Slay the Spire with certain powers and things that you get, you build up from beating bosses and stuff. Yeah.
It is super fun.
Okay.
It looks cool. I like how it looks visually.
I think it's like $5 or something on iOS at least.
It's a roguelike as well.
It is, yeah. Yep. It's a run-based thing.
Yep.
And then there's different decks you can get that aren't that different from one another, but will have sort of different focuses. It takes a while to get good enough at it that you're getting through the whole run, but it's very fucking satisfying and enjoyable. I reckon Solitarica is worth having a look at.
Oh yeah, this looks neat.
It does also sound like it has a lot of crossover with Slay the Spire of buying different cards, buying different potions and shit.
It's a few years old at this point now, like to the point where on a newer phone it looks a little weird because it was made for when they were like iPhone 4s or 5s.
Yeah, 2016 this review is from.
Right.
Yeah.
But I really, really like it, and it's very Moorish, and very easy to go simply in on.
There's a bit just funny as you were saying about how it looks a little old now on phones. There's a gameplay video of it here on YouTube. PC UHD 4K 60 frames per second. Probably don't need to worry about that, wow, given that it's just a five-year-old card game.
Yeah, running in vertical 540p, yeah, or whatever. Yeah, it's very fun, and it's simple and easy to learn because it's basically solitaire.
Right.
You are trying to put a card down that it's like Uno has a similar up or down number.
Yeah. Yep.
If there's a three, you could play a two, but you could also play a four.
Oh.
Do you want to play a four or a five?
Snap.
Next. You've got it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very fun. Cool. And I recommend it.
That sounds great.
Completely, yeah, forgot to talk about it on here.
Now, what do you all guys think about Mass Effect getting a TV show?
Oh, yeah. I saw that you posted that in our chat before.
On Amazon. Fucking Amazon. I mean, number one problem, Amazon, I don't know any good shows they've done.
I was talking to someone about this.
The Boys is pretty good.
I know, yeah, one good show they've done.
I was talking to someone about this yesterday. Mm. Like a lot of people, I ended up subscribing to every streaming service, right, during the lockdown.
Yeah.
And just, you know, all of a sudden it's like you just realize, oh, I should probably do a bit of a cull.
Mm.
And going, Prime, you're on the chopping block.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Plus, you would be on the chopping block, but if I think I've bought enough new Apple products in the last couple of years, yeah, that I've now got 6 free years of Apple, yep, TV.
Ted Lasso is good.
Yeah.
I'm never going to watch it. I'm sure it is.
Sure.
It doesn't seem like it's to my taste. But also, there are other things on Prime that I thought I would like. The Man in the High Castle is one of my favorite books, and right, it's just a bit lackluster. Something I'll talk about on the bonus episode coming up, yeah, Monday also is in that category.
Yeah.
I didn't hate Invincible.
Oh,
there's
right,
a couple things they've made on there. But yes, Mass Effect is something that,
yeah,
in particular, seems like it would be difficult to adapt the kind of cheesy B-movie tone that they have in the,
yeah,
games,
yeah,
and make it appealing on a TV show. Similar to how I feel about the fact that Halo's getting its,
right,
TV debut.
Well, like,
soon,
the best versions of, at least Mass Effect, is like the 1977 Star Wars movie.
Right.
You know, it is like a schlocky practical effects but fun space opera, like that, yeah, is, and that's what inspired Mass Effect. But
it's Star Trek and stuff,
yeah,
like, you know,
yeah, yeah,
Deep Space Nine in particular,
right,
is the,
right,
Citadel, which is like the fun bit of seeing all these different alien species all be like blah 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 blah, blah.
Yeah.
I mean, they could all speak, but
no, they're all drowning.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Just fuck you, space water.
So I don't know. I don't have any faith necessarily in this level of production doing it justice. Really, it's just, I think it's just HBO where I'm like, yeah, this will be good. But
The Last of Us thing is the one, right, adaptation that seems like it's in the right direction. My assumption whenever they announce any video game thing is being made into a filmed piece of media is that it won't actually happen.
Yeah. Right.
But we are in a bit of it. There's a big slate of them,
yeah,
at the moment. It feels like, yeah, just something in the air where it's like, all right, let's have a... I mean, they tried for ages to get comic books to catch on.
Right.
And it didn't really ever happen outside of a few outliers. And then all of a,
yeah,
sudden,
yeah,
however it happened, something clicked and the magic was there, or slash it was just the right time in,
yeah,
culture for people to be receptive to it. So between Uncharted, Last of Us series, Halo TV series.
They're redoing Resident Evil?
Mass
or
Effect,
is that
there's
come
a new
out?
Resident Evil movie out, I think, now or very soon.
The Witcher I didn't like, but people are fans of.
Yeah,
Henry,
yep,
Cavill loves it. He's,
yeah,
always,
yeah,
I always see things popping up of like, Henry Cavill wants to die doing The Witcher.
Yes.
I've got friends, yeah, who are into the series who don't,
right,
play the game, so...
That's,
yeah,
interesting.
And those,
yeah,
were books,
yeah, maybe in a year's time we're going to be,
that's
like,
true,
the this will be like, you know, if all of those things hit, then it'll be,
yes,
the new, it'll be the new comic book thing where it's, and like, oh, what's another video game we can adapt?
True.
At the time, and I replayed them a couple, like right before those remasters were fucking announced, but Mass Effect is a great series of three games.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so like...
The story and the characters specifically,
yeah,
are fantastic. So
really enjoyable, yeah, but I think... More than a lot of video games, being a part of what was going on was a key element to those games. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I'd have watched that story in a less participatory way.
Yes.
If I'd have gotten involved. I mean, obviously wouldn't have gotten involved, but if I'd have gotten into it as
engaged. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I kind of felt the same about The Last of Us series being,
right,
announced.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I've played. Surely, like, playing it is the best version of experiencing that story.
Yeah.
But thinking about it more and more, it's like, It's HBO. It probably will be good. Mm. And I'll definitely watch it. And I can enjoy it with my partner who doesn't play video games. Right. Where if they nailed what's good about the story in the video game, for because they, I feel like they kind of have to make these things for people that aren't invested in the video games.
Mm. I have gone through
as much. I don't know. Like
I've gone through and watched the cutscenes of 2 with my girlfriend because yeah, I told right, them right. about the game and the story of it for some reason. They were like, "Can we play it?" And I was like, "Nah, it's like 20 hours."
Mm. Yeah,
I don't fucking want to spend that much time with you. You're fucking suffocating me.
I mean, like, I had a partner who was really interested in watching me play Firewatch.
Right,
and I was like, "This is a good story."
We
and
did Little Nightmares 2 together.
Right, yeah. right.
But when it is a 20-hour game,
yeah,
that's off-putting, not in a way that a series isn't. So,
but I feel like a series of, I feel like a video game adaptation, a comic book adaptation, you can appeal to people who are fans of the comic book because it's like you're seeing it come to life.
Yeah.
But with a video game, especially a more recent video game, it's looking very lifelike anyway.
And you're taking away the interactivity.
Right. Yeah, so I feel like they probably... Yeah, I would imagine they are more just going, let's imagine someone watching this who's got no familiarity with the source material at all.
That's how it feels like The Last of Us 1 is. It's a retelling of that first game, which does make me quite uninterested in the show because I know what that
even
game
if it's
is.
Good, you know it. Yeah.
Right. So it is, an adaptation in a way that like a remake of a movie or something like that where is King Kong 2005 the thing that you really want to... Or 6? Whatever.
Probably 6, right? Because when was Return of the King? 04?
3?
Oh, maybe it was.
End of 3?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We could Google it.
Well, you know, speaking of taking an experience and having it slightly... Mm-hmm. Like it's shown back at you in a slightly filtered and... semi-watered down version.
Yes.
I've been getting into that cloud gaming this week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I gave Xbox cloud gaming a bit of a run.
Yes.
And this is the one that's just come out in Australia. So you were able to do streaming from your console for a while here.
Yeah.
But the actual cloud gaming service that's included with Game Pass that runs in a browser.
This is, you can do it anywhere. Yeah, there's no, there is an Android app for it. There's no Apple app for it.
You just do it in Safari, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Right.
And then you can like save that page as like a little shortcut.
Like a little app.
I see. Yeah. So you don't have to like put the URL in every time.
Yeah.
But I had a little go of that in bed the other night and found that it ran. I couldn't be fucked getting up to go and get my controller. So it's just there's a couple of things that you can play touch screen control.
Yeah. Right.
So like Banjo-Kazooie, you can play like a, you know, as if you're using the thumbstick on the side of the screen. But anything newer, you can't do that with. So I gave Banjo-Kazooie a little go on there and was like, this actually feels pretty good. This feels like it's running pretty smoothly. So I went online and bought one of those backbone things, which is like a little controller for a phone. It's like a little extendable arm and
there's a Razer one called a Kishi as well that is something I've looked at before.
Yeah. I just bought the Microsoft one for the fact that I think probably the most I use it will be for the Xbox cloud thing because it works well. Like I'm not someone who's very like tapped into like latency issues. It's one of those things. I guess it's like frame rate. Some people probably really notice it and other people not so much. But in my experiences with it, I've found it to be pretty good. Like, admittedly, I've only really been playing Forza and some... What was the other thing I was playing? Things that are not, like, you know, pretty, like...
Slay the
Spire? Pardon?
Slay the Spire?
No, things that are pretty kind of, like, low stakes. Right. Kind of, you know, in what you're doing in them. So it's like if there is, like, a little hitch or a little lag here and there, it doesn't, you know, it's not going to completely... fuck the game and the experience for you. But it works really well. And it's kind of exciting to realize that it works as well as it does in a country with quite possibly some of the worst internet in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then realize like, oh yeah, if I was traveling, like if I was in Japan or America and I can just access all my Xbox games. Mm. And also the big benefit is that you're not downloading it onto your phone. So you're opening it up and you're playing Forza 5 immediately. You're not having to do the 100 gig download onto a device. It's just there and it picks up your save from where it is on whatever other device you're playing it on. It's fucking great.
Wow.
And yeah, surely like some people would be having issues with it. I certainly haven't played it enough to get to a point where...
Because you're playing it over Wi-Fi and like...
Yes.
As on a relatively fast internet connection.
Yeah, not for Australia. Yeah, but yeah, like, a good one, not a crazy... Yeah, there's definitely... There'd be places that have better internet than me, but... And I mean, if you're on 5G is probably better than what my home internet would be.
It'd all depend on latency and send and response times and all that.
And you can imagine, you know, I can imagine being like, you know, traveling and being like, oh, great, I've got a bit of time to kill in my room. I'll play some Forza. And then the hotel internet just not being up to scratch. You are always going to be at the mercy of that kind of stuff. Obviously, flights, unless you're on one of the select few flights where you can get very, very good internet on the flight, it's not going to be an option.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But even then, it's often quite expensive and whether it's worth it.
Exactly,
but it is.
Just buy yourself a travel Xbox if you've got the kind of good Wi-Fi speed flight money.
Mm. But it is exciting to have it work as well as it does, even with those caveats.
Yeah.
And it is still a very new thing to think like, and once I kind of saw that it worked really well, I was like, I'm going to get one of these little phone controllers and then chuck it in the bag. And then, if I'm away and can just tap into the Xbox library, that's fucking great.
So does sound cool. Does this make the Steam Deck redundant? And does it make the Switch less appealing?
No, for the fact that, with the Switch, it's like everything with Nintendo, it's down to their
first party
library.
Games. Yeah.
And you're still going to have that Wi-Fi issue. Is the fact that you have to be on the internet.
Yeah.
I still am keen to get a Steam Deck to just have all the library saved and able to play. Like, until you can just have great internet on a plane and be able to play these cloud games, like, literally wherever you are.
Right.
Regardless of I'm in a hotel with sort of dodgy internet, which is still obviously a long way off. I think I would still go in on a Steam Deck for sure.
I've always meant to give this a go because how is that backbone thing, the controller?
It's a great controller.
Okay.
It feels really good.
So this is like a third-party manufacturer?
No,
this
it's Microsoft.
It is Microsoft.
Yep.
Really?
Right.
Okay. The sticks and the buttons feel... And it basically is all told maybe slightly smaller than a Joy-Con.
Yep.
But it just all feels better. And again, it's that frustrating thing where it's like, God, I wish they would revise some of the design stuff of the Switch and get those sticks feeling a little nicer, get those buttons feeling a little nicer, get those triggers feeling a bit better.
Yeah.
It's not by heaps. It's still not like it's not an Xbox Elite controller, which I never mentioned it, but I bought one of them during lockdown and love it. It's such a good controller. The sticks feel so good.
Okay.
It's obviously not up to that level, but as a portable thing for being able to do your cloud gaming, do your PS remote play if you're just in bed or in another part of the house.
Yes.
And then also, there's a ton of stuff on Apple Arcade and just apps that have controller support as well.
Yeah, true.
And it feels great. It locks in there. It's very snug. And then you just, you're playing a little game on your phone.
Okay.
It's really good. It's a really good little peripheral.
I think Backbone is a different company, but they make like Xbox branded controllers.
Yeah, right.
Really? Because I bought it from the Microsoft store and it's got Microsoft shit all over the box.
Yeah, I think they're a separate thing, but they like make them
they're an official
Xbox
provider.
Okay.
That makes
sense. Yeah, right. Okay.
Like Belkin.
Yeah.
One of those types of companies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm having an absolute Belkin today.
Mate, the other day, she gave me a Belkin.
She gave you a Belkin?
Yeah, mate. She's fucking filthy, mate.
Someone go add that to Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, getting a Belkin. What do Belkin make specifically?
Like the
like headphones and chargers and stuff.
They make chargers.
Oh, okay.
Like car adapters.
That sort
shit like
of thing.
That.
Okay, right. So, yeah, okay. Getting head while you're charging your phone.
I guess.
So it does look like, Backbone, like. All Apple Arcade is on there, Xbox, PlayStation, Stadia, Steam. So they're a partner with a lot of
it's
official providers.
Peripheral for a phone.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, just all the remote shit even just is great. Like just going.
And it looks the design visually. It looks great.
Yeah.
It's cool.
The only annoying thing, and this is nothing to do with this is not the fault of the manufacturer at all. It's nothing to do with them. Doing a bit of remote play stuff with a specifically PS5 game that is using the haptic trigger stuff.
Right.
You can't do because yep. it's – but that's – I mean – fair enough.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's just it's just odd little things, and at this point in time, there's very few games that
as
actually
we said before, yeah.
use that.
Yeah.
You can also very easily connect Xbox controllers and stuff to iPhones as
you
well.
You can, so, yes,
yeah. yes, that's true.
There's lots of different that's options true. For that. I really have been meaning to give this shit a go forever, but because we've been home for so long, yeah. there's been no real cause to. So this is the little kick I needed in the pants.
Mm. Yeah, my trying out of it was literally based on me remembering someone mention it a while ago and be like, I wonder if you can even get that in this country yet, or if they've even said when you can get it.
It was like
Googling
a couple
that,
of weeks ago.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Googling that and then finding that it was just up and then going like, oh, but I bet I have to do a bunch of bullshit, and then just like clicking a button and like literally from 2 minutes, even less, after me thinking, maybe I'll Google this and see if they're rolling it out yet. I was playing Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah. It really is really easy to get it started up on your phone. You don't need to download any extra thing. You don't need to... Yeah, it just loads up pretty instantly.
It's the dream of Stadia that never really came true for us.
I've been calling whoever's at home and asking them to describe to me what's happened under the Xbox and then telling him what to put in. And I feel like an idiot for that now.
You can only play chess, really.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're going to have...
Banjo-Kazooie by mail is not a fun experience.
I think eventually they're going to have a version of it on Xbox consoles.
Yeah, that's so you the could idea, stream, right, is to have a Series S that you could be playing Series X level.
Or even a 1.
Graphics.
Right.
Or, yeah. Right.
It just looks a little kind of filtery, right. But so it's not like quite that crispness. But again, if you financially don't have the option of upgrading and your internet is good enough.
Yeah.
When we're getting to the point where there's exclusives that are coming out on the Series X and above or whatever.
Yeah.
Just having access to Game Pass and not having to download stuff first, right? Just
that is
being
the
like,
big,
oh, okay, yeah. I can play any of these 150 games by just hitting start and they're
that's it.
They're like they're playing.
Yeah, I read a review of a guy basically saying you sacrifice a bit in quality, but it means that in the space where I had to wait for one thing to download, I've tried 8 things out to see if I want to play more of them. Yeah.
Forza Horizon 5 is like 105 gigabytes or something.
Yeah.
To buy one of those 2 terabyte SSD expansion things for the Xbox is the same price as a Series X almost.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Like, it is a big deal. It is becoming more and more of a big deal. And as internet gets better, streaming gets more accessible. And by gum, I think they're onto something.
it won't amount to anything. It's a fad.
Yeah, it's a
it's
fad.
Like 3D movies.
The kids are going to go back to Betamax.
Well, I guess that is going to do us for this week on Filthy Casuals. Thank you for joining us. Check out filthycasuals.com.au. We got the links to all the other stuff that we do. We're on Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
You can support the show and get a bonus episode every week.
And a little video, early access. We're playing Detroit Become Human. You asked for it. We're doing it. We're about four episodes into playing that. It's fun. Tommy's in control. And he is a loose cannon.
Setting a precedent for anything you ask for, we'll do.
Yep.
So don't abuse that privilege.
But it'll be behind a paywall.
Yes. Check all those out. Yeah, we got tons and tons of videos up there at the moment. We played a bit of Halo.
Mm-hmm.
We've been playing this crappy Russian horror game that Ben found on the PSN store.
Yeah, the thrilling conclusion of that will be up in the next 7 days.
Yep. Heaps of stuff on there. Check all that out. Guys, thanks very much for listening. We will see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Like Zoinks, Gandalf. That was a pretty good episode, right? Well, that wasn't bad. Yeah. I was happy with that.
That was really good.
Who was that meant to be?
That was Gandalf.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.